The Man in Line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com, your one-stop shop for advice on renewable energy solutions and other green initiatives.
Faster Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line. On between now and one, you're invited to call on 66 13 68, text on 166 177, email studio@manxradio.com, and you can WhatsApp on 166 177. Today we're talking about medicinal cannabis. Cannabis consumed with the objective of reducing symptoms of a medical condition differs, of course, from recreational use of cannabis, where the purpose is to achieve a euphoria or relaxation, which you'd call a high. And the first company, the first licensee on the Isle of Man, is Grow Labs Organic, and Alex Frey is the boss, the chief exec of Grow Labs Organic. Alex, hi, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Andy. How are you?
Fantastic. Just tell me, how long has this journey been? Where did the idea of Grow Labs Organic come from?
Okay, so it's 5 years in the making, and back in 2017, I first had the idea with one of my co-founders, Charlie Price, who's actually here with me today, so I'm sure he can add some different perspectives and some value to this conversation. And we thought that it was, we could see there was a global trend of regulatory reform for cannabis sweeping around the world, and we could see that this was likely to come to Europe, and we thought it was an area in which we had some skills that would be very, very well utilized and complementary to build a cannabis business. And the Isle of Man actually has some characteristics which we thought would be suitable as well. So that's when it started. It's been a long time coming to get to this point where, as you said in the warm-up, yes, we've the first licensed applicant to be approved in principle by the regulator, which is fantastic.
You had a big job in the finance sector on the Isle of Man. Have you given that up? Have you, how many of your cards on have you thrown on the table with Grow Labs Organic?
So I and my two co-founders, we've all gone all in, I think is the cards terminology. And I moved to the island 8 years ago and worked as chief operating officer and then chief executive officer of a medium-sized financial services business, sort of 40, 50 people on the island and others in other jurisdictions. And it's nearly 3 years that I've been full-time on this project now.
The nuts and bolts of this. Now, you're aiming to create 50-odd jobs in 3 years. What are there any bricks and mortar? What will be the physical presence on the Isle of Man? What are you growing cannabis over here? Are you refining it? What's going to happen?
Yeah, so all of the above. So the license is to cultivate cannabis, process it, manufacture finished products, and then sell them. We have import-export licenses. And to do that, yes, we will need a facility. And we are, now that we've had the approval in principle, our architect is preparing the planning submission right now, and that will be going in hopefully very soon. And that will be to build a purpose-built facility in which we will cultivate and process cannabis.
Okay. With a fair wind, when will it start?
With a fair wind, we expect planning to go in within a couple of months, and we will be targeting the fastest pathway through planning, and that could be 2 to 3 months, hopefully. And then the construction itself, and perhaps Charlie Price would be a better place to say to talk to some of this, but construction itself is only 6 months, but it's just aligning up all of the contractors and all the subcontractors to do it sequentially. So the whole thing, we would hope to have the building up in a year, at which point it will go through audit from the regulators, and then we can actually start cultivating. But it's important to also note that we have an import-export license. So whilst the lead time or the runway for that facility is not insignificant, there will be the potential to trade in the interim period, importing cannabis products that are compliant with all the European pharmaceutical regulations and distributing those. So, there's sort of a twin strategy there, and each of those strategies, whether it's the import export using third party suppliers or whether it's building our own facility to grow our own cannabis, they will have different requirements in terms of starting and of employing people and job creation and that sort of thing.
Okay, well, with Charlie Price will be on in a moment, and Alex Frey. Alex is the chief exec of Grow Labs Organics, the company, the first cannabis licensee, medicinal cannabis licensee on the Isle of Man. If it's something that affects your life, obviously we'll talk about the benefits of medicinal cannabis, then by all means get in touch. Call 66 13 68, text 166 177, email studio at manxradio.com, or you can WhatsApp as well on that. If I might talk to Charlie now, Charlie Price is... hi, Charlie, what's your official position for GrowLab Organics?
Hi, so, yeah, I'm the Chief Scientific Officer. So my broad remit is I'm in charge of our cultivation strategy and designing and implementing the building in which to execute that strategy.
Okay. Could you say that in English? How is it grown?
So essentially because of both the pharmaceutical regulations that we need to comply with, as well as the geography of the Isle of Man, we're actually growing indoors. Now we face two sort of potential options. One would be the logical sort of growing in a greenhouse and using the natural sun and then supplementing that light in the winter with supplementary artificial grow lights. However, the variation that we would see during the year by supplementing the natural sunlight in winter and not having to in summer is actually that there's too much inherent variability there. So we're actually growing completely indoors, which allows us to control the climate in which we are cultivating the cannabis, but also control any related sort of emissions, things like odour and noise, of which there will be neither. So essentially, yeah, my role is creating the cultivation facility in which we're able to produce some of the best cannabis in the world.
Okay. Somebody's emailed in. Terry's dropped me a note in just to say, will people require private prescription for this? What will the prices roughly be? And will you be growing cannabis that contains CBO and THC? And if so, at what levels? Will it be mild, medium, strong, or different strengths?
Sure. Great question. So in answer to the first one, absolutely. At the moment, medicinal cannabis is legal and is able to be supplied under a prescription. That prescription doesn't need to come from the NHS. It can be a private prescription, and there are many clinics opening which are able to prescribe cannabis for a range of 23 different medical conditions. Now, on receipt of said prescription, we are able then to fulfill against that prescription and supply cannabis to that patient for that eligible condition. And in answer to the type of cannabis, I mean, there is, as the person answering the question has alluded to, a huge variation in the active ingredients within the cannabis plant. And we've broadly categorized that cannabis into four main chemical groups or chemovars. One is high THC, so THC dominant, above 20%. One is medium THC in the 10 to 20% range. Another is CBD dominant varieties, and CBD is the cannabinoid that counteracts many of the effects of THC and has a different range of therapeutic properties. And then the fourth category is more balanced, what are known as one-to-one strains, where some of the more traditional varieties of cannabis where THC and CBD exist in almost equal proportions. So we, in answer to the question, we'll be providing a wide range of different cannabis strains that are suited to different people's needs in treating different conditions. And we also understand that people are different, their preferences are different, and people's endocannabinoid system, the intrinsic physiological system that deals with cannabis and processes it, is different for different people. So choice is key to our offering. People on that journey.
Yeah, Charlie, are the GPs up to speed with this? Are the GPs, you say it could be a private prescription, but I mean, is every GP on the Isle of Man up to speed? Will they know what to do with this?
Almost certainly not. And it's part of our role is being part of that information and education piece. So at the moment, you don't just go to your GP and get a prescription. It needs to be what's called a specialist prescriber. And that specialist prescriber is able to almost advise the GP on prescribing and the suitability of cannabis for specific conditions.
Okay, Howard's with us on Man in Line. Hi, Howard, you're live talking about medicinal cannabis.
It's been a long debate, but it's finally coming to fruition, and I hope fruition's the word, because nature's provided, in various forms, a huge amount of medicinal compounds that are helpful to man, and cannabis is just one of them. And the unfortunate part about cannabis, because of its recreational use, it has become a stigma. But the actual plant itself, that is an innocent item which is going to provide a lot of good for people who are suffering. My wife suffers, and it's in her family, an arthritis, and she was taking the CBD oil, although the cost is horrendous in a sense if you're buying it through a health food shop. But she found it very, very good. Now, I've just heard the chap mention there CBD oils is only one part of it. But the cannabis can and probably will help an awful lot of people, providing this chap that's talking has the medical knowledge and the people there within the company to manufacture medical cannabis and the various forms of it. So I wish him well in that sense, because we look at the various other medical remedies that come from nature. You got the digitalis, which is the foxglove, and that's used in medical procedures. Aspirin, which is a long, that comes from willow. So cannabis is only another form of using nature to cure our ills, and I wish him well. The only thing I would like to know is, is it going to be the one that's up, what we loosely term as Ford North, that's up on the Annika Road, going up past Annika? And when the processing is in being, I assume they're going to be highly skilled professionals in doing that. But what worries me is the security. Are they going to have... Well, it'll have to be 24/7 security in a place like that, because that has the potential for misuse.
Okay. All right. Howard, thanks for that. Charlie, what's your response?
No. I mean, you're absolutely right. Plants have been for many millennia used by people, selected and bred in all four corners of the globe for exactly that purpose. And I think the role cannabis can play for people like Howard's wife and many others on the island are significant. And I also agree completely, the stigma around cannabis and cannabis users, it often mars all of the huge benefits that exist. And the pharmaceutical paradigm is one that almost wants to patent and monetize and commercialize many of the active ingredients of plants and put them in a pill so that they can't be repeated and done by someone else. But really, we are dealing with nature here, and we believe we have a responsibility to do the opposite, but to grow these plants in a responsible, highly regulated and controlled way to provide a plant-based medicine for people that have used it for many thousands of years and sought benefit from it. So, it's great to hear, and you're absolutely right. The people involved in our business are going to have the highest levels of professional standards, whether they be in the remit of pharmaceutical compliance, the use of clean room technology to produce the medicines. You know, everything we do is going to be overseen by both the MHRA, the government regulators, and we're not going to be allowed just to get on with it. And so there will be a huge number of safeguards in place to ensure that we we comply with the necessary standards and that we produce a product that's safe for patients.
All right. Charlie, if I might have a word with Alex. Thanks, Howard. Good point. Thanks for calling today. Alex, whereabouts is the facility going to be?
So, Andy and Howard, thanks for the question. The planning submission will be going in soon, which will be public knowledge, but until that's gone in, I would rather not say and disclose the exact location. I will say that it's not the one that Howard mentioned in his question. It's not there. And to talk to his security questions, I think it's worth noting that the application process for medicinal cannabis license on the Isle of Man is the most rigorous application process that I've ever been through in 2 decades of working in regulated industries. And security is one of the fundamental parts of that. So for anybody to get through that regulatory process, they need to demonstrate that security around the site of the facility where cannabis will be cultivated and stored is appropriate. And there's different layers to that security as well. But without wanting to be too smoke and mirrors, we're not going to disclose all of the different security measures that we have in a forum like this today.
Okay. You mentioned, it's mentioned that 50 jobs will be created in 3 years. What sort of jobs, Alex?
Well, because we are a company that is both headquartered in the Isle of Man and will have its centre of gravity from a trading perspective in the Isle of Man, it's going to be a broad range of jobs. So as I mentioned earlier, I've actually lived on the island for 8 years. So we will have different types of jobs depending on which part of the business people are working in. So in the cultivation facility, there'll be a range of horticultural jobs. In the processing side of the facility, it will become more aligned with scientific disciplines. There will be people with PhDs. There will be people with pharmaceutical qualifications. We'll also have our finance and administration offices in the Isle of Man as well. And we will have some of our executives and directors of the business will be based in the Isle of Man. Yeah, this is an Isle of Man business with a broad range of different roles. We will have some people that are not based in the Isle of Man. So probably for things like sales and distribution, you might want to be nearer your biggest distribution centres. So there will be some staff in the UK as well. But the centre of gravity is absolutely on the island. And we think that one of the most exciting things about this sector for the island, not just for our business, is adding a new niche sector to the jobs market, which is going to create a range of different jobs at different grades, levels, and different disciplines.
When the department did a survey, didn't they? Department of Health and Social Care consulted the Manx residents on the medicinal use of cannabis for their views. 95% supported the cultivation and manufacture of medicinal products in the Isle of Man, subject to a suitable regulatory framework. Only 0.8% of respondents weren't in favour. So do you get that you're feeling you're pushing an open door, Alex?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Andy. That was an overwhelming response, not just because you've got a high 90s in favour of exactly that, but also in the number of people that responded. I think it was 3,500 back in 2019, and I think that made it the second largest response to a public consultation ever. And you think that recently the TT consultation had, I think, less than 30 responses to something that's so important to the island. So to have that overwhelming majority of public opinion in favour of regulatory reform and making this possible, it feels good. You know, the public are, not everybody, but you know that the majority of the public are on side with what we're trying to do. And that sentiment, I think, is reflected with within the House of Keys. I think if you looked at the election manifestos of most of the elected officials and those members of House of Keys and now in Council of Ministers, there is broadly support for medicinal cannabis, and that feels good. But that doesn't mean that puts you on an open door implies that it opens very, very quickly. And as we've already talked about, this has taken quite a long time already. But yeah, it feels good to know that the support is there from the general public and the politicians.
Alex, what's it going to mean for the consumer? Is that something that you're involved in? Because there are many people, and anecdotally, we all know people on the Isle of Man who spend many hundreds of pounds a week getting medicinal cannabis from the internet. Do you know what the level of charge is going to be to patients on the island?
So I think this is another really interesting area. And if we look across to other places where cannabis has been legalized for medicinal purposes and then see what's happened, you quickly understand that most people would prefer not to be breaking the law to be acquiring their medicine. You know, that's almost unanimous from all the people we speak to. But for people to actually make that transition, it needs to be cost comparable. And so the quality needs to be as good or better, and the price needs to be similar or lower. And because if those two things are not true, then whilst people might want to not break the law, the incentives aren't strong enough to switch because perhaps they're not able to afford to, or perhaps they can't get the quality. So it's really important that for the medicinal cannabis sector to succeed, which it will, that the products that are being offered are very high quality, very consistent, safe, and provided an affordable price.
Is it possible that you may end up saving the Department of Health and Social Care and Manx Care money? I got an email in from Mandy who said, at the moment, the Isle of Man Manx Care spends a fortune providing me with medications to cope with Crohn's disease. I know somebody who's got Crohn's disease, says Mandy, and they use medicinal cannabis, and they don't drain anything from the Department of Health and Social Care, but they pay for it all themselves. Is it possible that may happen, in that medicinal cannabis will save the exchequer, save the treasury money, by not spending a fortune on conventional prescriptions?
That's another great question, Andy, and there are lots of people use cannabis for therapeutic reasons to treat a variety of conditions, and Crohn's disease is one of those, and it works very well for some people with Crohn's disease, and other people with Crohn's disease don't favour it. So it's not a silver bullet. However, if the fundamental question of if somebody is paying for an alternative medicine, which means they don't need to have a medicine prescribed on the NHS, then of course that's going to save money.
Lots and lots of messages in that I want to get to as well. Here's a note in from 916. Now, you may understand this more than I, Alex. Tilray is one of the largest cannabis companies by stock market value, yet the company loses over $1 billion a year. Why are companies like this being overvalued, and what risk do you think this poses to this? I mean, are you convinced of your financial structure and your financial model, Alex?
Yes, we are. And another good question. I think Canada was one of the early movers with cannabis. I think California was before Canada, and I think Uruguay went before Canada, but Canada was one of the first countries to legalize medicinal cannabis and then adult use cannabis. And there are loads of lessons to be learned from what's happened in Canada. And sometimes it's not to copy what's happened. And you have, yes, there's a few really large companies, Tilray being one of them, that have a large market cap but are losing lots of money, and that is absolutely not the business model that we are seeking to emulate. I think Tilray and merged with another large cannabis company called Aphria recently. It was quite controversial in that the shareholders of Tilray didn't actually want it to happen, and I think they had to changed the constitutional documents of the company to force the merger through. Once they forced the merger through, they then started cutting jobs, laying people off because they just couldn't sustain the cash out and the negative cash flow and then the business. So, we're not going to be following the Tilray route, absolutely not. That's not to say that good things haven't happened in Canada as well. There are plenty of positive lessons to be learned from that experience as well.
Okay, we're with Alex Frey and Charlie Price from Grow Lab Organics, the first company licensed to produce cannabis on the Isle of Man, medicinal cannabis. And a note in Crystal on 775 says, Andy, I've worked as a pharmacy dispenser for 17 years. I'm off work due to fibromyalgia, CFS, anxiety, depression. The chemicals I take are slowly killing me by side effects, and they don't really help at all. I've tried CBD, CBG medication, and it was a life changer, but I've not been able to get it off my doctor. I'm happy to assist with any trials that may occur. I know Alex is very clued up, says Crystal, and bring it on. There are lots of people waiting for this, Alex.
Absolutely, and that is the mission. That's why we get out of bed every day. Yeah, that's why we put in all the work over the last years, because we truly believe in the capability of cannabis to provide therapeutic value to millions of people. And that's all over the world. People have been, let's not forget, cannabis has been illegal for most of all of our lifetimes. However, if you take a longer view, cannabis has been used by humans for 10,000 years plus. We've been found it in archaeological sites all over the world. And it's been used, it's in some of the world's earliest pharmacopoeias in ancient China and in India with Ayurvedic medicine. So people have been using cannabis for a long time. And whilst it's been criminalized in recent years, it's actually, that's the anomaly rather than the norm. It just seems like the norm because it's been criminalized for most of our lifetimes. But things are changing, and not fast enough. People like Crystal saying she can't access the medicine that she would prefer to use. That is not happening fast enough for Crystal, but things are changing, and we really believe in this space.
Okay, Alex Frey is with us, and Charlie Price from Grow Lab Organics, the first Manx medicinal cannabis company. In a moment,
Manx Credit Union has moved.
You can now find us at Ragnall House on the corner of Peel Road and Hope Street, Douglas, where our team remain committed to providing savings and responsible loans for Islanders.
We are managed by our members, meaning our only focus is making sure that you are well looked after.
Find us in our new home on Peel Road. Have a look around and speak to our friendly team.
Or find out more about Manx Credit Union online at mcu.im.
Manx Credit Union.
Not just for you.
We're with you.
Oh, thank goodness for Island Fuels. I was here on my own with the baby when we ran out of heating oil. It was getting pretty chilly. I called Island Fuels and explained our situation. And you know what? They swapped round a couple of non-urgent deliveries and slotted us in. And the delivery driver was so nice, as our tank is a bit tricky to get to. And now we're toasty warm again, aren't we?
For plenty in the tank, with reliable fuel delivery and friendly service, call Island Fuels today on 247 645.
Right, class. Today we're learning about geography and maths. Jones, why will knowing about those subjects win me a great back-to-school prize?
Because it's a winning weekend on Manx Radio with Office World, miss.
Correct. And how can I win?
Find the question on the Manx Radio Facebook page and be listening for the cue to call on Saturday and Sunday. Then text your answer to 166177, miss.
Correct. And when is the draw?
5:15 p.m. on Monday's afternoon show.
A gold star for you, Jones, and for Office World too. Win a study desk and chair, plus a backpack full of stationery essentials for the new school year. This weekend with Office World and your nation station, Manx Radio.
Hello, this is Howard Kane. If you're curious about what's in Spotlight, Manx Radio's arts programme every Wednesday evening, wonder no more. It's a bit like this.
It's a sense of the absurd, which I love. It sort of makes you go, ooh, what's that?
I'd always wanted to write a novel.
I'm a ghost, invisible to one and all.
You know what I see in this?
Mm-hmm. Still curious? Then tune in every Wednesday at 6 or download the podcast and listen at leisure. Spotlight, here on Manx Radio, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
The Man in Line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com. the world's leading carbon register and validation ecosystem.
Look at that time, 24 minutes before one. Medicinal cannabis today from GrowLab Organics, and Charlie Price is with us. Charlie, you were involved in the Eden Project, weren't you?
Oh, yeah, it's a modest contribution. But yeah, we were, back in my days, I was doing my PhD research on integrated farming, and we were part of the team. Yeah, I was part of the team that designed all the rice exhibits at the Eden Project, which was an amazing experience. And we've since, yeah, done all sorts of similar things, from helping design growing stations on the North Pole through to building systems across the globe, from Africa to the Middle East and across Europe. So,
okay, you now got the is it true the license you had to apply to? Is it the Gambling Commission who issued the license?
Yeah, so it's the GSC who is yes, exactly as you say, the Gambling Commission who were appointed by the government to regulate this space.
Now, I mean, the layperson would ask, why the Gambling Commission?
I don't think it's necessary. It's probably above my pay grade to answer, but I think they were. I'll pass you to Alex. He's probably better placed.
Okay.
The GSC are one of the preeminent regulators in the world, and they're respected for the work that they've done in the gambling space. And the Isle of Man, as a jurisdiction for gaming, is known for high quality. They're very robust. And so I think that whilst the level of cannabis experience within the team is obviously not there, they're a gambling regulator, their quality as a regular is undoubted, and they have taken the time to learn and to deep dive, and I think they've appointed a cannabis expert to be part of the GSC as well, part of the committee, or the commission rather. And so, yes, I totally understand the question that, you know, on paper it looks like a curious appointment. But I think that they've done an excellent job from my perspective. And I think that some of the delays that have happened have not been because of them. This is a complicated beast that's involved many different facets of government. And that has potentially caused some of the delays, rather than it being a lack of experience within the GSC.
Okay, a question from Clive in Laxey, who just says, you're the first licensee. Will you be the only licensee? How long have you got a license for?
So the licenses that are granted in the Isle of Man are renewed annually. So you could say that each license lasts a year, I suppose. Will we be the only licensee? I don't know. I doubt it. I think I know that there are a number of other license applicants. At what stage they are in the process, I don't know, because it's confidential. But I imagine that there will be others that will follow us.
Okay, a question in, this is DB on 501, who just said, Andy, I've self-medicated with cannabis for osteoarthritis. It alleviated my pain. I actually grew my own, but got busted by the police. I proved in court that it wasn't for financial gain. The crop never went on the street. I ended up with a criminal record. I can't get it prescribed on the NHS. I can't afford to go across to get a private prescription. But obviously, some people who have money can. These people are going to make a fortune when this is up and running. I can't afford a license. So what happens to people in the same situation, says DB? Alex, the question is this just for the rich?
Could I take this one, Andy? I think I totally hear what the caller has said. I think it's not. The beauty of our business plan is to be vertically integrated, and the current private cannabis supply chain is made up of a huge number of people with their finger in what should be a fairly small pie. So you've got the producer in some unknown country, you've got the importer, you've got the pharmacy, you've got the clinicians that are prescribing it, and then you've got the poor end user who, as your caller rightly suggests, has to pay probably twice as much as they could get cannabis from illegally on the street. And as Alex alluded to earlier, the only way that we're really to address this challenge is if we try and provide cannabis at an affordable price that is cheaper, if not the same price as that can be sought illegally. But we do so in a way that is legal. And so the reason that we are looking to control the cultivation, the processing, and be able to control the supply chain all the way to putting that product in that patient's hands is to ensure that we can subsidize some of that supply chain. You know, it's our goal to produce amazing quality dried and cured cannabis flower at a price point of about £6.50 to £7.50 a gram. Now, many people would struggle to find that anywhere in any illegal marketplace. So it's absolutely not going to be something for the rich. The challenge that we're addressing at the moment is the access issue, the way in which we can help people like your caller to engage with a clinician and to be prescribed that product without it being prohibitively expensive. And we have a really interesting and innovative plan up our sleeves that we can't talk about yet, but certainly in the coming months we will be able to challenge exactly that, to allow us to subsidize those clinicians' fees, to make them essentially free of charge, and to provide the option for all people to have access to this amazing medicine. And so, yeah, it's definitely not going to be for the rich. And equally, in the way that we are wanting to structure our company, we are actively trying to structure the shareholders and the incoming investment to be one of a community-owned model, as opposed to us trying to solely focus on profit.
Okay. Bearing in mind, I mean, earlier on you said that obviously the vast majority of GPs aren't up to speed with this on the Isle of Man. Bearing in mind that medicinal cannabis has been available in many jurisdictions across the world for quite some time, are we behind the times with this?
Absolutely we are. But we're behind the times. Those that use, YouGov did a poll and they've estimated that there are 1.4 million people in the UK and the Greater British Isles using cannabis every single day for medical purposes. Now, there are currently about 15,000 legal private prescriptions and growing, but the disconnect between those two numbers is because of access and accessibility. And we need to give people the ability to shift.
Okay, Andrew's with us on Man in Line. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Andy. Hi there. I thought I'd call in. I've sent a couple of messages, but they never seem to get read out. So I'll voice this, if I may, please. First question, where is all the energy going to come from for the cultivation and the production? And secondly, bearing in mind the potential return of profit and return on investment, will the company be providing some financial assistance to all these numerous workers who are going to be looking for housing?
Okay, Alex or Charlie?
Yeah, I'll touch on the energy and I'll pass over to Alex for the housing question. So, I mean, our first challenge is to obviously, in the climate world we live in, to be energy efficient. So rather than using some of the antiquated horticultural equipment such as high-intensity sulfur plasma and metal halide lighting, we're going straight in with state-of-the-art LEDs that use a third of the power. We have a finite amount of capital to deploy, so it's our intention to fit the system, fit the facility out using the most appropriate energy efficient equipment, and then to look at our renewable plans in phase two once we're at a point of revenue. But suffice to say, it's because of the closed environment that we're growing in, we're recirculating the air. So there is an element of being able to balance the energy from those rooms or those cultivation zones that have got the lights on and are producing lots of heat into the rooms that have turned the lights off and need heating. So it's a challenge of both using energy sensibly, using appropriate technology, and future-proofing us for a world when energy comes at a huge cost, which it's starting to already. And in terms of housing and things, I'll pass over to Alex.
Yeah, so I think our attitude is to be a responsible employer and to provide people with a safe environment to work in, where they are trusted and respected and remunerated fairly for that work. And we don't know exactly who all these people will be yet, and we don't know, it's likely that a great many of those people will already be Isle of Man residents, and some of them may move over to the island as well. But it's impossible for me to predict exactly what the requirements of each individual staff member will be. But I can, I can commit to the fact that we will be a responsible employer that seeks to give everybody a fair remuneration package so that they can live their lives.
Okay, Andrew, what's your feeling about medicinal cannabis and this new organisation?
Well, firstly, I'm very disappointed to hear that they're not going to be installing any sort of solar electric wind farm anywhere to generate the initial power. That's very disappointing. And secondly, there would be, I think, a better expectation if the company were to say that it was going to, for example, purchase properties that it could, or even create the building of properties that it could then provide to people who are going to be invited to come over. So, it's happened before. Tremode cottages were provided for the workers down there. I mean, I don't think it's beyond the resources of a company that's going to have some potentially large profit and return on investment to provide housing for its workers.
In broad terms, Andrew, do you think the production of medicinal cannabis on the Isle of Man will be beneficial to the Isle of Man in reputation and in practice?
I'm open-minded about that. I'm more concerned about the two questions. Thanks, Andy.
Okay, we appreciate that. Thanks for calling today. Charlie dropped a note in just to say the cannabis plant, I think, is vast and could help save the NHS millions while creating trade and work. It's very easy to harvest and is environmentally friendly. America, Canada and other forward-thinking countries have legalized small amounts of cannabis for personal recreation and therapeutic use, and this is proving very successful, says Charlie. I just want to touch on this, Charlie, and Alex as well. And obviously, whenever we talk about medicinal cannabis, the subject will lead to the use of recreational cannabis. Is there any line, dotted or firm line, between your business and the future legalization of recreational cannabis?
So the future change in legislative reform around cannabis, whether it's changing the medicinal classification of it or whether it's changing the adult use rules around it, are a question that we can't answer. We are a licensed producer operating in the cannabis industry, producing cannabis legally for legal markets. So if and when that's going to change is, I think, it's a fascinating question. I think we're running out of time. I don't think we're going to be able to go into it now, but you could potentially curate a great panel discussion with some different stakeholders that actually have a say into how these things get changed in legislation through Tim Ward and through the Attorney General. I think it would be really interesting, and okay, we'd be happy to participate as part of a panel. And Andy, before we move on, I think Charlie just wanted to respond to a couple of, I think it was Andrew's points when he expressed his disappointment about some of the power considerations.
Yes, okay. Charlie?
Yeah, I was only really saying, maybe I didn't communicate it effectively, we are absolutely going to be focused on renewables, but we are a cannabis business. So in the first instance, we need to deploy our capital to create a forward-thinking facility that is geared up to do everything as energy efficiently as possible. If we were to also invest in taking ourselves essentially off-grid and producing our own renewable energy to serve that function, that facility, from the outset, we'd be looking to deploy two or three times the amount of capital. So our challenge and our plan is to ready ourselves for those renewables, both in terms of the design, the aspect, and where the roofs sit and face so that we are able to plug in PV and utilise PV, but we aren't planning to do so until we get to the point where we're selling our cannabis and generating revenue to reinvest those profits into our energy infrastructure.
Okay, thank you, Charlie. If I could just have the final word with Alex. Alex, you mentioned that obviously until the planning is sorted out, we won't be able to know where the facility is going to be. So when that goes in, we will know where it's going to be. Is that right?
Yes, it's a transparent process.
Okay. And just finally, because I know you have to dash off, you're in East, is it Brighton you're in at the moment?
Yes, I've come back to Brighton to do some meetings with some cannabis patients.
Okay, so just give us a plug for your website if anybody wants to know about We Believe in the Power of Cannabis, Grow Lab Organic says. What's the website address?
So it's growlaborganics.com. And then we have some activity on LinkedIn and Instagram as well.
Appreciate it. Thanks for being with us today, Alex.
Thanks very much, Andy. Really enjoyed it.
Okay, 8 minutes to one on Manx Radio. GrowLabOrganics.com, the Isle of Man's first cannabis company.
No setup hassles. No worries about data usage. Discover home Wi-Fi that just works with Manx Telecom's new best ever fibre broadband plans. You'll get a new router and Wi-Fi extender to boost coverage, expert installation, plus ongoing remote support to diagnose and fix any problems, and unlimited data. Move to a faster future with Manx Telecom fibre broadband. Visit manxtelecom.com/fibre now to get started.
I always recommend Spectrum Windows to friends and family when they admire our home. Locally based Spectrum Windows install quality windows, doors and more right across the island with 10-year guarantees, superb workmanship and excellent service. I'm sending them round to see Duane as he's doing a new extension. I jokingly said I should be on commission, but there again, Spectrum's fantastic products sell themselves better than any salesman.
Visit Spectrum Windows, the showroom, Derby Road, Ramsey, or call 817777.
You're sure to find something fabulous at Ramsey Art Gallery, Jewellers and Engravers.
From stunning gold and silver jewellery that you can make extra special with an engraved message to local prints and gifts for every occasion, Ramsey Art Gallery also stock a fantastic range of watches, including Ted Baker, Citizen, Storm and Accurist.
Plus Seconda, Timex, Sexy and Bulova.
All with lifelong free strap adjustment. You'll love what you find in store when you visit Ramsey Art Gallery, Jewellers and Engravers, opposite the RNLI shop in Ramsey.
Mom, Dad, there's no hot water again.
Having trouble with hot water and heating? Energy prices are rocketing, and there's never been a more important time to make sure your heating system is in tip-top condition. Home Warm by Energy Management Systems is the simple way to spread the cost for essential maintenance, starting from just $7.99 per month. For peace of mind and money-saving advice, call EMS on 613 210 or find us on Facebook. Home Warm by EMS. Become our priority.
Tonight at 6 o'clock here on Manx Radio, join Kiri Kermode and myself, Simon Clark, for the last in the current series of Countryside.
We take a look back at a very successful Royal Manx Agricultural Show for 2022.
We speak to the supreme champions, the winners of the reserves, plus the judges and president. And also I popped along to a munch, brunch and lunch, courtesy of the Jervey and Northern Community Initiative.
That's all in Countryside tonight here on Manx Radio at 6 o'clock. And don't forget, you can download or subscribe to the podcast for free at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com. Helping Isle of Man companies and citizens to understand net zero targets and a green future.
Oh, there you are, 5-1 on Manx Radio. The message in from Steve, who just said, why are the GPs on the Isle of Man behind the times where this is concerned? Didn't they know this was coming? Tammy said, you've made my mum very happy. She spends a fortune on CBD at the moment. If it will be any cheaper on the Isle of Man when this company gets going, hooray. And Georgie said, again, availability, where will the availability be? Which GPs will be able to prescribe it, or will you have to pay for a private prescription? A note in from Faye, who just said, it's all very well, but I think that cannabis is a gateway drug to other drugs. So who's going to regulate this? And incidentally, if we have more licensees, will the cost come down? Well, bluntly, we don't know. What we do know is this company, Grow Lab Organics, is the first licensee for medicinal cannabis on the Isle of Man. And for many people, it's a big relief. Well, we don't quite know where they're going to grow it yet, but we will when the planning process happens. Again, if you want to know more about it, the website growlaborganics.com. And you heard Alex Frey and Charlie Price. Alex is chief exec. Charlie is the horticultural side. Anything you want to say about that, by the way, you can drop me a note at maninline@manxradio.com or call the answer phone on 682631. On Friday, we're talking about A-level results. Tomorrow, open line. It'll be good to have your company, and thanks to Barry Redfern producing today. WINT